Kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi poho, he parakuihi tēnei, ko Rosetta Aho. You're listening to 95BFM Breakfast. My name's Rosetta, I'm with you until 10 o'clock this morning, and it's time for What's Up, our monthly catch-up with a member of the National Party. We've got Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith on the line. Morena.
Morning, Rosetta.
How are you this morning?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. We're going to talk a little bit about the recent stats you've been reporting on crime reduction. You're saying you're continuing to push ahead with the violent crime reduction target and that you're ahead of this.
Yes, well, look, there's various measures across the justice system, but there's a very big survey done called the New Zealand Crime and Victim Survey, and that showed when we came into government there are 185,000 New Zealanders being a victim of serious violent or sexual offending, which is far too many. And so our goal, our sole sort of focus in the whole justice sector is to reduce the number of victims of crime. And so we set a target of reducing that by 20,000 by 2029, and the good news is that we're past that. We're down 29,000 already. Although that still leaves 156,000 New Zealanders too many being a victim of crime. So there's still a lot of more work to do.
Yeah, I'm interested by this because your focus in terms of law and order has definitely been around victims of crime, but we're seeing the prison populations really spiking, and your chances of getting a prison sentence are at an all-time high. Talk to me a little bit about this.
Well, look, we had the previous Labor, you know, Greens government had a focus on reducing the prison population by 30%. That was the only clearly articulated goal that they had. And look, we all want to see fewer people in prison, but it has to actually follow a drop in crime, not the other way around. And we had the perverse situation coming in where we had fewer people in prison but more violent crime. And so our focus is on keeping people safe. And if that means more people need to go to prison in the short term, well, so be it. Of course, the long-term goal is to have fewer people committing crimes and fewer people in prison. And so there's a bit of a combination of tougher consequences for crime, which is what we're talking about in the Sentencing Act, but of course there's also an enormous amount of work that we're doing around better rehabilitation, dealing with those long-term issues, and such as if you're thinking of youth crime, I mean, you know, the most important thing you can do is make sure that kids are actually at school and deal with truancy, deal with emergency housing, all those sorts of issues as well.
Well, we know that an offender's the chance of reoffending increases the longer someone is in prison and the more times they go back to prison. So what is the long-term goal in terms of protecting victims of crime from reoffending criminals?
Well, it's not an easy area, but of course, if you're focused on having fewer victims of crime, the obvious place to start is with that very, very small group of New Zealanders who are creating most of the victims over and over and over again. And what we don't accept is a conveyor belt of people creating a new victim every time they come out and go back and hurt somebody else. And so that's why there is a big focus on rehabilitation, but it doesn't always work. And so there are some people that need to be kept out of circulation for longer so that they can't cause more harm and damage in society. So that's a very big part of it. And it's also why we've got a big focus on the gangs, why we've passed tougher gang legislation. Gang members are less than 0.25% of adult New Zealanders, but they're associated with up to 20 to 25% of serious violent offending. So that's a very good place to start if you want to reduce the number of victims of crime.
Can you elaborate on what the improvements to rehabilitation are actually entailing, other than just locking up more people?
Well, you might surprise some of your listeners, but nearly half, about 45% of the people who are in prison are on remand, which is that they've been imprisoned awaiting their trial, or they've been convicted and they're still waiting for their sentencing. And so that's a function of very slow court processes and a whole range of broader issues. That group up till now haven't had access to rehabilitation programs at all. And so one of the first things we did in the budget was put aside I can't remember the exact figure, I think it was $78 million, to enable rehabilitation programs to be offered to that group of prisoners. So a lot more people who are in prison right now have access to rehabilitation programs than ever before.
Mm. So do you feel as though the investment in the infrastructure of prisons is keeping up with the rise in prison populations?
Yes, we have allocated extra resources to building greater resources there. That's an important part of the task. Like I say, our focus right at the start is to keep New Zealanders safe and to reduce the number of victims of crime. That's what we're focused on. And so that has meant that we are building extra capacity. Of course, our long-term goal, as I said at the start, is to reduce crime and to have fewer people in prison.
Mm. Having more people in prison at the moment seems to be costing a whole lot of money. Is this? Do you really think this is a huge priority for a lot of New Zealanders?
Well, the alternative, of course, is victims of serious crime cost society a whole lot of money, as well as all the pain and suffering. So, people who have had their lives destroyed by an act of violence go through all the trauma and consequences of that are a huge burden on society and, of course, are victims of horrendous incidents. And so that's what we're trying to avoid. And so it's not a free option in the sense that the cost of crime, both financially and emotionally, is colossal.
Mm. I want to turn now a little bit to talk about the prison population and the makeup of that. Rangatahi Māori, young Māori, make up 81% of our youth prison population. Is the justice system failing our Māori youth?
No, but it is a long-standing challenge that we've had for a long period of time to deal with the overrepresentation of Māori across the justice system, including in terms of the number of victims of crime. Māori are more likely to be a victim of crime. So I've always resisted the idea that somehow you're being anti-Māori by being tougher on crime and the consequences of crime, because the Māori are more likely, as I say, to be a victim of crime as well, and so they have a great interest in trying to reduce the number of victims of crime. So those long-standing issues continue, and that's why if you look across the justice system, there's an enormous amount of effort that is put into a wide range of innovations as to how to greater reflect Māori involvement and tikanga and all those elements within the court system, the Te Ao Marama court system, courts that we have across the country and various parts have been working very hard to deal with those issues more effectively. But as you rightly point out, there's a lot more work to do.
Mm. We've seen a new police officer beat team introduced in Henderson here in Tāmaki Makaurau. What are the community beat teams doing to improve trust amongst law enforcement with these communities, particularly Māori?
Well, the primary purpose of the beat teams is to reassure people and to prove what I think everybody recognises was a terrible situation, particularly in CBDs, and a sense of disorder in our communities. And so, it's a massive challenge in the city centre and in many of our city centres at the moment, where people are confronted with very antisocial behaviour and random violence and a huge amount of theft going on. And so I think most New Zealanders are pretty determined to turn that around, and part of the solution to that is to have a more active presence of police and so that reassures the community and deals with these issues more swiftly. And alongside that, there's a whole lot of things that we're doing around shoplifting, offending, trespass and offending, and also the sentencing regime. So there's a whole lot we're doing on different levels to deal with what had become an out-of-control situation in some of our CBDs.
Mm. Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's not as though this rise in violent crime, particularly when you talk about our CBD, it's not as though this comes or exists in a vacuum. And we've seen a huge rise in homelessness in Tamaki Makaurau over the past year. So I'm interested as to why the first sort of knee-jerk reaction is to put more police on the streets rather than addressing the homeless population.
Well, it's not a knee-jerk reaction. And yes, the homeless situation doesn't arise in a vacuum. When we came in, we had more than 3,000 families living in emergency accommodation and in motels in places like Rotorua and parts of Auckland, which was a hopeless situation and a complete failure that we inherited. And the good news is that we've dramatically reduced the number of people living in those completely
But where have those people gone?
Situations.
Where have those people that were in emergency housing gone?
No, but the point is there's been a massive reduction of people who are living in emergency motel accommodation. Yes, there has been a small increase in homeless people, but the numbers are nowhere equal. And so we've made great progress on dealing with the emergency accommodation problem that we had and the crime that was associated with that. And if you come from Rotorua, if you go to Rotorua or places like that, you will be fully aware of the terrible outcomes of those situations. Of course, kids in these emergency accommodations were far less likely to be going to school and much more likely to get involved in the youth justice. So we've made great progress on that. Yes, as a result of that, there has been an uptick in homelessness on our streets.
We've had a 90% increase in homelessness since September 2024 in Tamaki Makaurau.
Well, I haven't seen that particular figure, but yes, there is.
That's according to the Auckland Council.
Yes, well, the Auckland Council, so that's why we're actually working very hard to continue to provide housing and to deal with the situations that we've got. We have a very strong welfare state in this country and very many options available, and it's a difficult cohort that we're dealing with. There's no question about that.
Mm. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Minister Paul Goldsmith. I appreciate you making the time for a kōrero.
Thank you. All right.
Have a good one.